Glory. Thank you, Father. I tell you, devil hates what's going on around here. And I say that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you didn't get a Shalom little flyer, you need to get one. Okay, we got them up here. Just want to mention the fact that the power of a Hebrew word called Shalom. Completeness. So when a Jewish person walks up to you and says Shalom, so you need to start practicing this. Practice Shalom. Because when you say Shalom, it's the power of the Word. Remember, the power is in the Word. That's why Jesus is called the Word, because the Word is all powerful. Shalom means completeness, wholeness, peace, health, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation. The absence of agitation or discord. Shalom comes from the root word shalem, meaning to be complete, perfect. The word shalem in Hebrew also means paid in full. Because when the Lord does something, He does it right. So when we give our hearts to Christ, your debt is paid in full. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's a new day. Praise God. And Pastor, I love that that little track. Real men serve Jesus. Any dead fish can float downstream. But we know as Christians, we are going against the tide. And guess what? Guess how you get strong? Maybe fighting the current? Yes. Also, you've been given, hopefully, an end time trumpeter's flyer. I want to set the stage this morning as we share about the ancient trumpets of Israel. Back in 2006, I went before the Lord and I really had a stirring in my heart to generate a DVD. A DVD that would be able to put in people's hands, because there are people that are amused with the shofar and some of them just think it's nice and it's a nice thing. But there are warriors in the kingdom of God that are called to this thing. There is an end time army. God's putting it together, and it's for warriors and not wimps. I'm prior military, and it comes out once in a while. So there's a 5-part teaching on a DVD. If you take this DVD, and if you're serious about a shofar, feel a calling in your life to have a shofar, we sell some of the finest. We get them from Israel. I have a Jewish businessman that he and I have become good friends. I'm one of one persons he lets in his warehouse to do what I do. He won't let anybody else go in and root through his shofars. But he said, but Pastor Don, you can. I've become his friend. See, if I'm going to win a Jew to Jesus, I'm going to have to be friendly. I can't jam Jesus down his throat. I need to see, there's too much talk and not enough walk. Love people unconditionally, even the Jewish people. By the way, let me ask you a question. Where's the nearest synagogue, Pastor? Where? Go visit it. You'll appreciate what you got. I'll tell you what will happen. They'll be stunned. They'll be shocked because the Jews think we Christians don't love them. That's a sad, sad statement. We visited the synagogue in Hagerstown, and we're huggers. I tell people, get up, move around, give somebody a hug. So we show up, and I got my entourage, 6-8 people, whatever it was. We go into the synagogue on Friday night. And all of our people, they're coming to greet us. Who are these people? And we start hugging them. So we said, you know what? Once wasn't enough. Let's go back to their service. When we went back to the service the second time, they hugged us. Recently, we went to Baltimore. It's never been done before that I know of. I have a Jewish friend. Actually, he knows the Messiah, but he's in an Orthodox ministry on account of his wife. She's Jewish Orthodox. They're some hardcore people. And his daughter was going to be bat mitzvahed. And he said to me, Pastor Don, would you honor me? and blow your shofar at my daughter's bat mitzvah in the synagogue. It's never been done. So I have another trumpet blower that accompanies me. We blow together, and the sounds that you heard last night, we do them simultaneously. You ought to hear two of us do it together. So I taught her father, this girl was going to be bat mitzvah, brought into her womanhood. I taught her father how to blow. And so when they opened the service in the synagogue, her father stood in the middle. I stood to his right. Jim, my other blower, stood to his other side. And they called out the sounds. And they have never heard such sounds of a shofar ever in the history of that synagogue. See, we're sifters and shakers, and we're supposed to be history makers. And we're not intimidated. The righteous are as bold as lions. We don't walk around fearful. We walk around fearless. Not in an arrogance. Not in a belligerentness. But always in a heart of love. I said, Father, I desire to put together a DVD so people, we can put things in people's... There's not much out there. By the way, there may be a general in here. Maybe someone's called to this for this region. David Marvin is called to Cumberland as a blower of the shofar. Somebody needs to receive the call and take it as a ministry and do something with it. And in turn, if you have this tool, you can teach others. Every time we send a shofar out, this goes with it. I said, Father, I went to a studio, long story short, and I talked to a professional studio, and they said, well, you know, if you're going to do what you're going to do and do this five-part teaching, blah, blah, and we're going to do it in excellence, it's going to cost you somewhere between $2,500 and $5,000 just to get a good original in a professional studio. And when he said $2,500 or $5,000, my heart fell out on the floor. I picked it up and walked out. And this is what I said. Father, this is your will. It's your bill. I'll wait on you. I get invited to Texas to open a big seminar of all preachers. And they asked me to sound the trumpet, and we did. You ought to hear them preachers shout. It was awesome. After the service, two people approached me from Tennessee. The friend that had invited me to that conference knew my heart to create a DVD, a teaching DVD, something that would help people. These two people approached me and they said, Pastor Don, we understand that you have a heart to create a DVD for the ancient trumpet of Israel. And I said, yes, I do. They said, well, we want to do something for you. The Lord has laid this on our hearts. If you'll come to Chattanooga, Tennessee, we have our own studio. Not only will we help you create a DVD in our studio, we'll even make them for you. You can shout amen or oh my. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. We're always trying to run here to and fro, do this, do that. But I'm telling you, I've come to the place, Pastor, I ain't doing nothing. Lord, if you ain't in this thing, I ain't either. I love what Moses said. He said, if you ain't going with me, I ain't going. That's all it is to it, Lord. That's, anyway. So the day we left for, we were getting ready to leave the next day, March 22nd, 2006, I said it, I'll get busted up here trying to tell you this. And I said, Father, give me a word. Give me a prophetic word for the DVD that I can put it in the DVD. Let me speak to people. And I picked up the pen and I started to write these words. You got the sheet with you? Trumpeting warriors are not born overnight, but they're birthed out of adversity. Did you get that? These guys and these gals have been through the flames of hell. They can't be stopped or deterred. Amen? I'll try not to preach my way through it. Trumpeting warriors are not born overnight, but they're birthed out of adversity. They're always tried in life's furnace of affliction. Pastor, I saw something. I read something about June 8 in the fire. Good word. You know, that was Pentecost and the flames, the tongues of fire. I'm trying not to preach. I won't try to read this. They're always tried in life's furnace of affliction. They can't be stopped or deterred. They have a mandate from the throne room of heaven. They are warring trumpeters who are the frontline warriors. They stay the course. They are God the Father's watchmen on the wall. These warring trumpeters are a special breed of velvet and steel. These trumpeters are heaven stormers pulling down strongholds of the enemy. They've been purged and purified. They dance on demon forces. You like that? How about this one? Hell trembles as the shofars are sounded once again in the ranks of heaven's army. These trumpeters are not complainers or moaners, but rather sifters and shakers on a mission from heaven. They cannot be broken under pressure, nor will they sway off the path the Lord has placed them on. These trumpeting warriors walk the path of the one who is called the Ancient of Days. These last days, royal priesthood of the shofars, rise, shine, says the Lord of hosts. For he calls you from the four corners of the earth. Come, take up your position in this last day army of the living God. When trumpeters sound, all the alarmed nations will tremble, and you will go forth with a yoke-destroying anointing. Trumpeters of heaven, you were born for such a time as this. The ark of God is moving once again. No, it is the Lord God who has called you and set you apart to blow the ancient horn of Israel once again in the ranks of heaven's army. Somebody say amen or oh my. So that's just to warm you up what's on here today. A lot of what's on here I'll be sharing. I probably won't touch on all of it because this is very exhaustive. I mean, I cover a lot of material with the DVD. For $10, it's yours. You buy a shofar, it's free. Hallelujah. Woo! Turn with me in Numbers chapter 10. For years, I've read this portion of Scripture, especially when we came in to the shofars. And by the way, the word shofar is Hebrew for trumpet. And so when I was reading these passages, which I've read them as a pastor many times, Numbers chapter 10, and actually what he's doing, he's talking to Moses, the Lord's talking to Moses, and he's giving him instructions for the two silver trumpets. So for years, we as the church thought, well, you know, the only sounds that could be made had to be these two silver trumpets. We don't have the silver trumpets anymore, so I guess we don't get to make these sounds. So I was in prayer one day, and I began to pray over these verses. And I came across verse 9 of chapter 10. And the Lord opened to me an understanding. That's what he'll do. You see, you have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss. In other words, you ask for the wrong reason. If your motives are pure, heaven will be open to you. My heart is to teach and to train trumpeters. My heart is to come into places like this, and when I leave, stir it up. Stir it up. But this is his promise. Look what it says. I didn't write this. But I want to tell you, the devil doesn't even want me to read it right now. He just wish I'd put a muzzle on it and shut up. But look what it says. I didn't write it. This is God, Father, Elohim talking to Moses. And when you go to war in a land against an enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow the alarm with the trumpets. And you shall be remembered before the Lord your God. And you shall be saved from your enemies. Woo! Brother, I like what you said about the shout. Because see, what the devil's a thief. You know that? And by the way, you know, you can command him to bring back everything he stole. Did you know that? And you can command him to bring back what he's stolen, and he's got to return it 7 times. You step into that kind of faith, he's got to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So there's two things he's stolen out of the church. One is the shout.
Not in this church.
Not in this church. Not on my watch. Come on. See, Scripture talks about there's the shout of the king. And when we shout to the king, it's because the presence of the king is in the house. He's here. The other thing the devil wants to steal out of the church, and he has in too many places, is the power of the amen. See, amen is power of agreement. Jesus said, if any two of you shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. So when we shout amen, you're saying, preacher, I agree with you. And when we come in agreement, it releases the glory of God to begin to, woo, to manifest in the house. I got goosebumps shooting up and down my spine. I'm liable to start dancing. So anyhow, the rest of that chapter is given about when the two trumpets blow. Let's back it up there for just a moment. Let me see where I want to go here. Talking about the calling. It says the calling of the assembly. See it there in verse 2? Okay. Make two trumpets of silver, a whole piece. Shalt thou make them, and thou may use them for the calling of the assembly. So there was an assembly sound. I'll give that sound to you in a little bit. And when they blow them, the assembly shall assemble themselves to the door, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. We open every service Friday nights and Sunday morning with the sounding of the trumpet. We're calling them to come gather in. I didn't write it. He did. I believe he can still do that today. How many of you know that Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Come on. He can do anything he wants to do. And listen, he'll use anything or anybody. If he wants to use an old crooked horn, it's fine with me. Once he used the jawbone of an ass. And he's still using jawbones of them today. Verse 3, and when you shall blow them, the assembly shall assemble themselves. That's call them all to the congregation. Call the congregation to the tabernacle. And if you blow but one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves to thee. When you blow an alarm, the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When you blow an alarm a second time, then the camps that are on the south side shall take their journey, and they shall blow an alarm for their journey. And when the congregation is together together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound the alarm. And the sons of the Aaron and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall be to you for an ordinance forever. It shall be an ordinance for you forever throughout your generations. It passed through the cross. It did not change. If it changed, the New Testament must tell me it changed. It doesn't say it changed. We've been robbed. What's the devil do? He's a thief. He comes to rob, to kill, and destroy. He means to strip the church of all of its authority, of all of its power, of all of its anointing. But everybody say this with me in agreement. Not on my watch. And what's really neat about this, if you read on in the chapters, I'm not going to go there. You know, Judah led the camps out. Did you know that? It was Judah and Issachar and Zebulun. They camped out together. It's interesting what Zebulun, Issachar was the center of times. Zebulun, it slips me what that meaning was. But go look them up. Get yourself your Strong's out. Go look up Zebulun and Issachar. Anyhow, these three hung out. Praise hung out with these two guys, with these tribes. So it says Judah led them out when they broke camp. And when they came into a new place, it was Judah that brought them in. Praise took them out, and praise brought them back. Woo! Yeah, that's a good place. Anybody see the camel commercial last year? Woo-woo! What day is it? I love the camel. Me and him become the best friends. Now, you know what's interesting about that? Last year in the Hebrew calendar, it was the year of the camel. This year, 2014, it is the year of the eye and the door. You will see things in the spirit you've never seen before. And the Lord says, I'm opening doors that have been shut, and I'm going to close some that need to get closed. Every Hebrew year has a meaning. And when they said camels, Lord, you see, the flesh jumped in. How many of you know the old flesh can jump in there, huh? Come on now. Come on. Don't lie to me. We have an altar call right now. The old flesh jumped in there. I said, Lord, camels, what a symbol. The Lord said, the camels are coming, the camels are coming, the camels are coming. You remember Jacob sliding? Or was it Rachel? Help me with them. I get the girls mixed up. It was Rachel, wasn't it? Slid off the camel. Remember the camels? Huh? And when the camels were coming, you know what the camels went one way and the camels come back. Guess what camels do? They carry things. They carry gold and silver, and they carry provision. Last year was the year of the camel. The Lord says, and I have made a provision. It's already in heaven, ready to be requisitioned by faith. So whatever you need, man, we ain't getting to the shofar, but we will. Listen, whatever you need, it's already there. Requisition it by faith. The storehouses of heaven are filled with everything you need, even body parts. That's radical stuff. I am a radical, in case you haven't observed that yet. And radical means deep-rooted. Scripture tells me, be grounded and rooted in Christ. And my roots run deep in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Zebulun. So honor and discernment and praise hung out together. There they are. Everybody got that? So honor, discernment, and praise hung out together. There's always a pattern. I teach patterns all the time in Scripture. Find the pattern. And your understanding will open. You remember when the disciples, they were struggling with things and Jesus opened their understanding? And see, until you come into the kingdom, until you're born again, born of the Spirit of God, Scripture will not mean much to you. I remember the days when I got saved. I went home, started reading my Bible. I cried like a baby for weeks and months at the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. And I can remember before I came to Christ to pick the Bible up, and I couldn't make it. I'd get disgusted, throw it down, couldn't do anything. But man, when the Spirit of God came in me, the illumination came. And things that I could not understand, understanding came. Back in 1995, I got to bring you up to where we are so we can move forward with some other things here. You need to hear this testimony. 1995, a friend of mine, he was a prophet. His name's Bill Yunt. I don't know if he's ever been up this way or not. He carries a shofar with him everywhere he goes. Up until 1995, I had never seen a crooked horn before. Bill and I were in prison together. Ministry. I like to do that to people. Always get this response. What, you think the Lord couldn't use a prisoner that got set free? So Bill's strange. A lot of times, and I say this, now don't get mad at me, because I operate in the prophetic too, but sometimes the prophetic people can be a little different. They're a little different. Bill's different. He sees stuff. Wouldn't be so bad, Bill sees stuff everywhere. So I got him lined up to preach, and he shows up that Sunday morning. Our church, we're in renovation. The walls, we're putting new walls in. The old church that we came into to receive the ministry, the old church needed total remodeling. And we started remodeling in 93. 2 years later, we're still working on the church. Bill shows up. And of all things, he's got a Jewish yarmulke on. He's got a prayer shawl and this crazy crooked horn. And I said, oh, God, what's he up to now? And I invited him to preach. Oh, Lord, what have I done? Bill began to teach us that morning about the ancient trumpet of Israel and how he came into it, which was very recently at the time, back in 95. And he said, Pastor Don, I have a prophecy for this house. God's about to bring a shift to this place. Everything in here is about to change. The Lord said, when I sound the trumpet here today, a shifting in the heavens will come over this place. You will never be the same. And when he blew the trumpet, little did we know what was about to happen. Our church name back then was Mount Lena Evangelical Christian Church. And we changed it to Tribe of Judah Word Ministries. And the Lord says, because you have chosen this name, you will begin to take on the identity. That's the way they did it in Bible times. They didn't just name them Peter, Joe, John, Mary, or Lucy. They prayed. That's why the name of Jesus didn't come for 8 days. The parents would seek the Lord. What is his name? What is his destiny? And Hebrew children were always given a destiny name. It meant something. Not just a name, but the name had a purpose. Amen? Amen. That's beautiful, isn't it? So anyhow, Bill blew that crooked horn. And I thought, wow. He left, and I thought, well, whew, I'm glad he's gone. We get back to normal, I guess, whatever normal is. All of a sudden, the Lord began to speak to me. He gave me Zechariah 14:16. I shared that with you last night about the feast. And I began to have it all of a sudden an interest in Hebraic things, Jewish stuff, as many people call it. And so he started with the horn, and I said, okay, Lord, what can we do with this horn? And then I went to prayer, and I said, Father, if you'll anoint me, and if you'll help me find a shofar, I'll take it to the nations. We've been as far west or north as Quebec, Canada. I got a friend up there. He's Grand Chief of the Cree Nation. He lays out in the wilderness and blows the shofar, and angels visit him. We've been as far west as Texas, far south as Florida. We've been to Africa twice. I had the privilege of blowing the shofar. We went to a minister's conference. I had 150 ministers. I got to minister to 150 ministers. This little country bumpkin boy that grew up in a Civil War town down by a little place on the farm along the Potomac River, I call myself the country bumpkin, that went to Africa, and I got to minister. I was so honored. But we blew the shofar, and they got shouting. We couldn't get them stopped. Barbara had to plug her ears. Honey, she said, I thought the walls were going to fall in. It was 150 ministers. We did the shout with him like we did with you last night. And they went into shouting, and they didn't want to stop shouting. The more they shouted, the more they shouted. The more they shouted, the louder they shouted. The louder they shouted, the louder they shouted. And after a while, the whole place was vibrating. Awesome. Awesome. So I was at Messiah College at one of these conferences like it's going to be going on next week. And I was looking for a shofar. I was in Israel, and they always knew where Don was. Marant, 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 where's Don? Marant, Marant. We passed the shofar shop. He's down there. Don't you hear him? Marant, Marant, Marant. I'm just learning to blow, so I'm having a big old time. I'm trying to find me a horn. Come home from Israel with a horn. I thought it was mine. I wanted to buy it, and I didn't. And we went to Messiah College, and I picked up a horn. I saw it laying there, felt led. Pick that horn up. Blow that horn. And when I did, the most wonderful sound came out of it. The only problem I had was I didn't have the $200 that I needed to purchase it. And so I prayed a prayer. I said, Father, if I'm destined to have this horn, if this is my horn, I can come back here in 2 days. Don't let anybody buy this horn, and I will purchase this horn. If it's your will, Father. 2 days later, I go back to Messiah College, and this black, I believe she was Ethiopian Jewish lady, she's got this horn, and she got it up. By the way, I left it at the church. I said, of all horns to leave behind today, I wanted to show you that horn and blow that one for you another time. So anyhow, here she's got my horn lifting up, and she's praying. She's in tongues, and she's going on and on. And I'm standing there, you know. I said, well, she'll get done in a minute. I won't get that horn. And she's praying and praying. She wouldn't stop praying. So I said, well, I got to interrupt her. I said, ma'am, excuse me, but I'm Pastor Don. I've traveled 100 miles, and I believe the Lord wants me to have that horn in your hand. If you're not going to purchase it, I'd like to have it. I offended her, and she said to me, she turned to me very abruptly and said, I believe this horn is for me. And if you don't mind, I'm praying and asking Father if it is so. And I said, ma'am, if I've offended you, forgive me. I'm quick to forgive. And I'm quick to ask for forgiveness. And so I left. Clean across this big auditorium and out of my peripheral vision, it looked like the parting of the Red Sea. Here she come with this horn. Walking down through the crowd, people just parted. It was the most awesome thing you've ever seen. She walked up to me and she said, what is your name, sir? I said, I am Pastor Don. She says, Pastor Don, I owe you an apology. I believe I offended you, but I have prayed. Father says this horn belongs to you. He's got a way of getting it done, amen? He's got a way of getting it done. Let's go over to Joel for just a moment, then I'm going to move along pretty quickly. It's amazing chapter 2, verse 1 and 15. When you get to Joel, say amen. Amen. You guys are good. You found it faster than I did. 2:15. As soon as I find 2:15, chapter 2, verse 1, then I want to go to 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh and is nigh at hand. You like that? All right, well, look what 2:15 says. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, and call a solemn assembly. Now, what I think is neat about that is in this generation is when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came in the 70s. It's my generation. It's your generation. And I thought, Lord, when I read this, I said, Lord, this is awesome because, Lord, you brought the trumpets in with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You can't separate them. That's what that scripture talks about, because it talks about in that scripture, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And twice in that same scripture passage of Joel chapter 2, it talks about the blowing of the shofar. Twice. That's awesome. That's awesome. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Lord. By the way, the word trump means to win. Trumpeters. Trump, first part of that, means to win. The first time the ram's horns are even mentioned in Scripture is over in Exodus chapter 19. And by the way, you know, we sometimes get all wound up over Pentecost. When Acts chapter 2, do you know and understand that that was not the first Pentecost? Say hello or oh me or oh my. Did you know that was not? The book of Acts is not the first Pentecost. All right, talk to me. Talk to me. I'm laying my weapons out. Just hang with me. And the scripture says, and the fire come down on the mountain. It's a 50-day journey. 50 is Pentecost. So this thing of the fire in Acts chapter 2 is not the first time the fire of God showed up. It shows up on Mount Sinai. And let me give you a word about Mount Sinai. Galatians tells us that the real Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia. Did you know that? You know, in Israel, they take you on a tour guide down the Sinai Peninsula. That is not Sinai of the scriptures. Got to watch them Jews. They know how to make a dollar, you know. Those Christians, they're so... Be careful. And the scripture says there in Exodus 19 that the voice of God waxed louder and louder like a ram's horn. Now, what's unique about the ram's horn is this has the... I call it the wail of the sacrifice. The wail of the sacrifice. When this sounds, it sounds like it's crying. Way to go, sister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You blow that one? Are you doing all right with it? Can I see it? Let me take a look. Oh, yeah, you should be able to blow that one.
I do blow it, but I mean, I don't.
Can you give me a toot? Come on. Come on. Whatever you got. Anybody else bring the ram's horn? Probably not. Go ahead. Hey, brother. Can I see it? We can make this one blow better. Okay. We'll cut the corners. We'll work on it for you. Okay. Beautiful. And I'm telling you, yeah, come on, give the Lord a praise. I'm telling you that in biblical times when the ram's horn was sounded, everybody's ears went. This was the cell phone of the day. Mountaintop to mountaintop. All the warriors. Get my belt to behave. Can you tell I used to watch Gunsmoke? But every Jewish warrior, every Israelite warrior, he had one of those. It was stuck in his belt somewhere. It became his telephone. He could warn of the invasion of the enemy. Certain sounds meant to do certain things. And most always it was a ram's horn. Now the Ammonites, the rabbis, they came along, and of course these are antelope horns here. The original, first very original shofar was a ram's horn. Now the rabbis said this, no cows. And Barbara and I have seen some awesome longhorn steers. And I said, we can chop them horns off of that baby. We make us a shofar, but we don't because it would offend the Jewish people. Because the Hebrews worshiped the golden calf when they come out of Egypt. So the rabbi said, look, guys, you make a shofar because the shofar could be made out of any animal horn, but most of the time it was a ram's horn. What's neat about the ram's horn, hang on 1 second, sister, I'll come right back to you. What's really neat about the ram's horn is it sounds like the wail of the sacrifice, where the Yemenites more of a war sound, like a trumpet or whatever. What did you have? Go ahead. Yes. Actually, the rabbis say the very first shofar came from the ram in the bush with Abraham and Isaac. Abraham would have taken that and made it. I'm going to sound a couple sounds with you. Now, this sounds like the wail of the sacrifice. The warfare sound, or the warning sound out of the ram's horn, would be like this. When the enemies of Israel heard that, they trembled. The army of God is on the move. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So the ram's horn was first mentioned there in Exodus chapter 19. I've got to watch bending over my little battery thing. He wants to fall off. But what's interesting as we go further with this thing, you know, we just dealt with Numbers chapter 10. And I like to quote that because Nehemiah 4:20, this is what it says in Nehemiah 4:20. Remember, they're building a wall and they're being harassed by the enemy. Nehemiah said this in Nehemiah 4:20. When you hear the sound of the trumpet, gather yourselves to me, for our God will fight for us. Oh, the devil don't want those words put out there. I believe the ancient spirits are hearing these things in this day and are trembling again. They knew that there was a time when there was an army that couldn't be defeated, couldn't be stopped, couldn't be deterred, couldn't be swayed off the path that the Lord had put them on. Could it be that we're returning to that path? It's the path of the Ancient of Days, the path of the Ancient of Ways. That's the way the Lord did it in the beginning. It's the way He's doing it again. I believe we're making full circle. We're coming back to things and having an understanding. Daniel 12:4, I quoted it last night for you. Seal up the book, O Daniel, till times of the end. For in that day knowledge shall increase. Many shall run to and fro in the earth. This end time generation is going to have a revelation. And they're going to have a manifestation. No other generation before us has ever happened. Now the knowledge thing. I want you just, this is, think about the computers for a moment. You know, I watched that come into being. I started working. I'm a printer by trade. And I started a print shop for the Washington County Hospital back in the 80s. And all of a sudden, these computers started showing up. Now, I don't know exactly when they came on the scene, but they started coming on the scene there. And now today, with what we know about a computer, no other generation has had what we've had. You can go into your search engine, punch up shofar, and the information just blows up everywhere. Knowledge all over the place. The prophecy is being fulfilled. Now watch. The pattern is, and the pattern always is, from the old to the new. In the old, it was more of the natural. Not that the spirit was not there, but most of the time it was about the natural priest, the natural sacrifice. Today we come into a spiritual priesthood, a spiritual. Are you getting what I'm saying? So watch what's happening. So in the natural, all this, I got goosebumps. I'm tingling clean to my ankles. All this knowledge is being released in the earth by a means called the computer. It's natural knowledge. So the Lord says, okay, I'm preparing the way. The natural must come first, but followed by that will be a spiritual revelation. There'll be a knowledge to this end time generation, because I'm raising up an army that will not be defeated, will not be stopped, will not be deterred, will not be swayed off the path that I've placed them on. When the Lord said that to Daniel, Daniel, seal up the book till times of the end of days, Daniel. For in that day I will release a knowledge in the earth. The earth has never known. They ain't never known a computer before. Dear God in heaven, 125 years ago, we was driving horse and buggy and riding horses. Now we got cars that talk to us. I got Bluetooth in my car. Hello? I said, hey, how you doing? Are you getting what I'm saying? We're seeing Bible prophecy being fulfilled. We are that generation. We are that generation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I went to prayer over Numbers chapter. Because I said, Lord, okay, now wait a minute. Help me here, Lord. And this is the way I pray. I said, Lord, help me to understand. Wait a minute. What's going on here? Now, how can we use these crooked horns effectively if... If you put that anointing on the two silver trumpets, and they were blown in the days of the tabernacle. And I said, Father, then show me in the Word where the same anointing of the same sound was used other times, and you brought mighty victory. All right, who remembers Gideon? They didn't have silver trumpets, but there was a sound released in the earth. Now, I believe there are sounds being released in the earth, not only through shofars, but through praise and worship, through revelation today. There's sounds that have been around for thousands of years are being released in the earth today. Isn't that awesome? So Joshua, let me do Joshua. We'll come back to Gideon. I love Gideon. I went to the well there where Gideon's men were tried in Israel. I got a story for that. So over in Judges chapter 7, remember they went to Jericho. You know what's beautiful about this? I'm very big on communion. Acts chapter 2 says, and they continued daily in the temple. By the way, in case you haven't gotten this revelation, let me give you another revelation. I believe the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was in the temple, third floor. I was in a house in Israel. Barbara and I walked in that house, and they give us this tour. Remember, them Jews are going to make some money. And we walked in that house in this room, and I looked around, and I told Barbara, I said, honey, this ain't it. There wasn't no outpouring of the Holy Ghost in this place. I know it. Then I said, Lord, then where was it? So he led me over to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. It says, and they continued daily in one accord, in fellowship, in doctrine, breaking bread, and went house to house. Continued where? In the temple. Why? This is Acts chapter 2. This isn't 10 chapters down the road. This is Pentecost. They continued. How are you going to continue someplace where you weren't? Are you getting what I'm saying? See, sometimes there's things in the Scripture we overlook it. We miss it. The Lord says, I'm going to show you. Now, why the temple? The temple was the most holy site in all the world. Why wouldn't Father use it to birth the New Testament church? Think about it for a minute. Now, I got some Jewish friends. Now, who do you think you are teaching that stuff? We never got that revelation. I said, well, no wonder. No wonder. It's going to require some change. You're going to have to step out. See, I'm a sifter and a shaker on a mission from the Maker, and I'm a territory taker, and I'm a history maker. I'm not afraid to put it out there. Either your spirit gets a witness to it, or you'll say, that guy's nuts. Now, watch this. After I got that revelation, I'm watching PTL because I've had it for a few years. And this artist had a vision. And he paints, the portrait's out there. You can buy it. They're in the temple courts. And the 120 are gathered there, and the fire is on their head, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This minister said, I had a vision of where it happened. It happened on the third floor of the temple is where the outpouring was. And he had an artist's description of this thing. You can buy it. If you go online, you can find this thing. The Lord says, many times what has happened to me personally is, the Lord would show me something, and then he'd have to confirm it by another means. But he would show me something, and then I would say, Lord, okay, now you're going to have to help me confirm this. And this pastor has this vision of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. Let me get back to communion. I don't want to step on the church here too bad, but let me stir you up. See, when I was in the Brethren Church, we took communion once a year. Devil ain't afraid of that. So what we, I listened to Perry Stone one day, and he's got a book out called The Meal That Heals. And I said, bless God. It means Smith Wigglesworth, John Wesley, all these guys. They took communion 5-6 times a day. And all they were doing, you got to understand what I'm talking about. They take that piece of bread and wave it in the devil's face. You're defeated. You're a liar. My Jesus. Take the bread. Keep on going. Walk by and grab the juice. The blood of Jesus has defeated you, Satan. All throughout the day, every day of their life, John Wesley, Smith Wigglesworth took the communion and they used it as a weapon against the devil. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm teachable. We never used to do it before. And I had some of my people saying, well, you know, people might just, you know, get complacent. We take the communion every day. I said, maybe you'll get complacent, but I refuse to let that happen to me. I will honor the Lord with the broken body and the shed blood. I will honor him. Something to think about. So over in Judges chapter 7, I love this. I love telling this story. How many of most of the time you don't take a city by marching around it? Huh? And you're going to do what with them ram's horns? You're going to do what? Mm-hmm. Well, we got 7 priests with 7 ram's horns. Ram's horns. And I love what the Lord told him. He said, you're going to march around the city for 7 days. And because he knew the people of God, he told them this, shut up. That's polite for be quiet. No talking. Now, couldn't you just hear Brother and Joe, Israelite, if the Lord hadn't told him to shut up while you march around the temple? You know, he says he's going to take these walls down. Now, how do you think he's going to do that? I don't know if I can believe him or not. You think you can believe God? Can you just hear the muttering that would have gone on if the Lord wouldn't have said, be quiet. I don't want any unbelief spoken. I'm about to do a supernatural, miraculous miracle. I'm going to cause the walls of this city to come down. I do not want any words of doubt and unbelief spoken over this situation. Now listen to me. The next time you find yourself in crisis, don't say, oh my God, what am I going to do? For the Spirit of God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the good news to the captives, to preach good tidings, hallelujah. And I'm telling you, the Lord wants to bring us into a place that when we're in a situation, we're in a trial, we're in a circumstances, and it seems like all hell's breaking loose. Listen, well, with nothing else we can pray, bless God, do that first. Pull your sword out and stick it in the face of the enemy. It says, devil, I might be dealing with a situation, but my God is able to deliver me. Yeah. Told you I was a radical. So there in Joshua 6, 1 to 20, if 7 days they marched. And again, remember what they used? They used the shout. They blew with the ram's horns. The rest is his story. His story. That's what I say every time I go to say the word history. The rest is his story. That's the way he did it. Now listen, if the Lord used those shofars and the shout supernaturally back in Bible times, is Hebrews 13:8 still good for today? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You think you could go to some situations, blow the trumpet and shout over it, and the Lord could shift the heavens for that region or over that city? I believe he can. I want to get to Gideon for a moment, but I got to tell you one more story. I went to Africa, and I met an apostolic man. Today he's over the head of the Bible colleges in Johannesburg, a mighty man of God. And when I was in Africa with him, the Lord told me, he said, go speak to that man about the horn. And because we was in Africa, every night we had 2,000 people in a big movie theater, and you ought to hear them shout. I thought the walls was going to fall. It was just awesome. So the guy's name's Jeff, and he wouldn't mind me telling this story because the Lord touched him. So I started sharing with him, and I felt this. If I start to share Jewish things with anybody or anything about the shofar and I get this, I'm done. I stop. I feel cut off, and if you cut me off, I'm done. I now turn you over to the Lord. I said, Lord, they're not hearing me. You need to speak to them. I'm speaking, they're not hearing, so you speak. And Jeff is an apostolic. He's an awesome man. I mean, if he was here today, he'd go down this aisle and he'd read your mail. He'd tell you what's going on in your life and how God's going to change it and turn it around, and he would name it bang, bang, bang. But he said, Don, we're not, and I didn't realize it, but in Johannesburg, South Africa, a lot of anti-Semitic spirits. And here's Jeff with all this anointing, but in this area, he's very weak. He didn't want anything to do with it. So one night he's sleeping, because he called me from Africa to tell me the story. Pastor Don, I had to call you. I said, what's up, Jeff? I had a dream last night. Well, he said, I was waking out of my sleep last night by a voice. I said, a voice? He said, yeah, it was God. It was Father. Guess what he told me? I said, what did he tell you? He said, Jeff, I want you to study the ancient trumpet of Israel. Yes, Lord. So Jeff said went to every scripture that had trumpet in it. And he started reading it. And all of a sudden, a quickening comes. The quickening means made alive. In other words, now he begins to see things that he couldn't see. He was blinded by an anti-Semitic spirit. That anti-Semitic spirit is devilish, it's hellish, and it wants to cut you off, it wants to stop you. And it had stopped Jeff. But that night, something shifted into heaven. So what's he do? He finally goes out and gets himself a shofar. Now this guy that didn't want nothing to do with this thing, he's got one in his church, and he's got about 150, 200 people in his church. He said, Pastor Don, he said, I learned to blow that thing before I took it into service. And he took that thing into service the first day, blew it. He said, demons went screaming out of the church. People rolled on the floor, squirmed like snakes. Demons came out of them. He said, people got healed. He said, my church will never be the same. That's not bad for a guy I couldn't talk to. And I said, Lord, he's all yours. Ask the Apostle Jeff from Johannesburg, South Africa, if there's any anointing on the shofar. There is. Gideon with his mighty men, 300. How many of you know you wouldn't fight an enemy normally with 300 pitchers with lights in them and trumpets? I mean, the Midianites, they said they were like sands of the sea for their camels. This army is encamped against Israel. And it calls Gideon. And I love what the angel of the Lord says to Gideon. Mighty man of valor, when he calls him. Gideon says, who, me? You talking to me? I'm least in my father's house. You want me to do what? And the Lord began to confirm him. Again, began to bring him into a place of holy boldness. And the Lord said, I'm going to try these people. He said, I'm going to deliver you out of the hands of these Midianites. And I'm going to do it with lamps in a pitcher and shofars. You believe me. Gideon had to believe him. Okay, Lord, you say you're going to do it, it's going to have to happen. Started out, and he said, Gideon gets all the men before him with their trumpets, and he says to them, all right, those of you that are afraid, go home. He says, 22,000 left. Wait a minute, now don't everybody leave. And he tries them down by the water. And another large group, thousands, left because when they were tried by the water, they failed the test. With 300, you know why the Lord will use a small group to do mighty things? Because he can get the glory. If you got all the money you need and if you got all the people you need, he don't need to get the glory. But when you got just a handful of people and you're doing the supernatural and the miraculous, guess who gets all the glory? He does. And the Lord said, this day I shall deliver you. And so, I love it. I stood there. Pastor, when you went, did you get a chance to go down to Megiddo? Did you happen to go to the Well of Herod where Gideon? I did. I got to go there. They took us there in our tour, and I went down. What's amazing about Herod's Well, it's a cave right there on that hillside. Megiddo's out, the Valley of the Plains, where the last great battle will be fought. It's right out here. You can see it as far as the eye can see. What's really interesting is you can still drink the water running out of the hill. There's a cave there. It's almost about as big as a sound system as far as a cave. It's a small cave, and out of it's coming this stream. I dropped to my knees. And I took the water because I know how Gideon's troop drank the water that were approved. Cried like a baby. Cried like a baby. The rest is his story. He said, every man, you don't need to do a thing. Stay in your place. 100 here, 100 here, and 100 here. And when I tell you, blow, break the pitchers, and shout the sword of the Lord in Gideon. The Lord had already prepared the Midianites. You remember the soldiers talking? He said, I had a dream last night, man. It wasn't good. He said a barley loaf rolled down the hill and smote the camp of Midian. So can you imagine a rumor? There's barley loaf coming off the hill. That was symbolic of Israel coming down the hill. There's an army coming, and they're going to kill all of us. When they sounded the alarm sound with their ram's horns, it sent confusion into the enemy's camp. The devil don't want me telling you this. Can't you see the demons scrambling around, running into each other, trying to get out of the way? It's what happens in the spirit. Glory to God. In Zechariah 9:14, it goes along with Thessalonians chapter 4. But Zechariah 9:14, it says this. You see, it says the Lord shall blow his trumpet in that day. So the Lord has his own shofar too. That's what it says. The Lord shall blow his trumpet in that day. And then we come over to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It talks about the trump of God shall sound, talking about the rapture of the church. Wow. Wow. So these trumpets are everywhere. We also know the book of Revelation, there's 7 trumpet judgments. There's a lot in the scriptures about trumpets. So what I want to do for you now is I want to demonstrate the biblical sounds. There are 3 basic sounds that have been around over 6,000 years. The Jews use them all the time in the synagogue. And they are warfare, return, and assemble. That's 3. Where'd you come up with 7, Pastor Don? I prayed. I said, Lord, you know what? We've got sounds for returning to you. We got a sound for assembly. We got a sound of war. But Lord, give me a sound that welcomes your presence and causes your manifest presence to come to the house. Remember what we said. This is his house. We are his guest. But he wants to manifest himself greater. Hallelujah. So I got a sound. The Lord said, out of Psalms 24, lift up your heads, you ancient gates, and the King of glory shall come in. I said, Lord, we want to sound a sound that welcomes your presence. But before we do that, I said, Lord, then we need to call to the people. The Lord gave me a sound, and I could not name it. I was in church one night at a conference, and I said, I've got a sound, but I got no name. And I said, is there anyone? We're just going to pray, and we're going to wait. I'm going to give you this sound, and somebody here's got a word for the sound. And this prophetess stood up. She said, Pastor Don, she said, that's a call to the bride. Come. Let me give you the call to the bride, and then we'll follow it by welcoming the presence of the King. I'll go through these sounds, and I'll give you their identity, okay? So calling to the bride, this was a sound that I got prophetically to call the bride to the house. Then it's followed by welcoming the presence of the King. And I really got to take a long breath for this one, and sometimes I run out of steam. But it's the 3 sounds brought together. I just welcome the presence of the King. And when he comes in with the breaker anointing. Because we are assembled. There's a 3 sound. It says return to the Lord. Isn't that something, that there's a sound of the shofar calling people to return? Let me get it. just a three sound. War sound. This is the one that sent terror in the hands of the enemy anytime Israel was on the move. It was also called warfare and warning. And it was followed by the return of Messiah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This little horn, I was sharing with Pastor yesterday that in my older days, my younger days, they are older days, we in the ministry, when someone got the call to ministry, we would say they heard the clarion call. And of course, like the church most times does, they'll say things and never explain, what's a clarion call? Well, if you go to the Webster's Dictionary, this is what it says. It says, it is a sound made by a small, it's a shrill, sharp sound made by a small trumpet. It's the clarion call. It's a call to ministry. I'm going to blow the call to ministry over you. Who knows who may be sitting among us who's called to the ministry? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is off of a gems buck. Those are kudu horns. This is off of a gems buck. And it didn't look like anything like this when I got it. It looked like something that had been laying in a barnyard. So what I do is I clean them up. I make them beautiful. Some of these only have oil on them. Some have been oiled and sealed. Someone who was buying a horn from us asked me, Pastor Don, can you make that horn like your horn? And I said, yes, I can. I've come up with a process that I can actually dye them. I've made them black for people. This is a mahogany look. We actually have a dark brown dye that I can put on them. And all these things. You remember back in Exodus when the Lord says, and the Spirit of God came upon the workers in silver and the jewels. They couldn't do that before, but when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, He gave them the ability. It was craftsmanship. And I reminded the Lord, I said, Lord, You did that for them. What can You do for me with shofars? So we started doing different things. What does this look like, an instrument-wise? Looks like a clarinet, doesn't it? Doesn't it look like a clarinet? It almost sounds like one, too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And some of the bigger horns, the larger horns, have a deeper, richer sound. And I carry this one with me because it's one of those, I call it, it's just awesome. It has a deep, rich sound. Most shofars are in the key of C or D. And there's some of them that are in the key of dud. You go and blow them if you... Rabbis say there's those to blow and those to show. He said, now if they're clogged up, boys, just put them on the shelf. They ain't never going to be able to use them. They get debris in them. See, one of the things about these horns is they ain't worth spitting until you get the flesh out. You'll get it in a minute. The flesh clogs up the breath of God moving through the instrument so that it can do what it was created to do. The Lord says, I want to flush out the flesh. So when you get them good and clean, you can get a good clear sound. And I've had them, I've gotten strings of flesh out of them, cleaning them up that long. I've got a part of a horn that was still down inside of the horn because of the way they grow. Fell out on the floor one day when I was going through the process. I put all the horns through a two-day cleansing to kill the bacteria. You got to understand these horns come from a third world country. Most of them come out of Nigeria. They come to Israel. They always said, you can always tell where the shofar shop is when you're walking down the streets of Jerusalem. You'll smell it five blocks away. Because these horns come off of dead animals. And I tell you, people pick them up and blow them. And if they haven't been cleansed, I'm saying, oh, Lord, You don't know what's on that thing. So Even today, we'll do a little practicing. If somebody's bold enough and brave enough wants to try to blow, I brought my alcohol wipes. We'll wipe them down. It looks like we're all going to line up for shots over here. Let me give you a sound with this horn. This horn's got such a rich sound. I love it. It's very special. Invariably, when we go and we blow, I always have several people come to me. Pastor Don, when I heard the sound of the horn, something happened inside of me. I tell people this. I said, listen, this is an ancient horn. It has ancient sounds. Holy Spirit knows these sounds. He dwells within you. And so when He hears that sound, He rises up within you. Now, maybe it doesn't work for everybody, but it works for a lot of people. I had a friend of mine in Alabama. He said one of his people got saved. And, you know, they shout, "Arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered." He said, this old boy finally gave his heart to Christ. And he gets up and he gives testimony. He said, "Pastor, I got to tell a story." He said, "What's the story?" He said, "You know, I've sat here for months and I had never given my heart to Christ." And he said, "You guys used to blow that shofar and shout, 'Arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered.' I wanted to run out of the church." He said, "Well, then it was working, wasn't it?" And then he said this, "But since the day I've given my heart to Christ, now when I hear the sound of the shofar, the warrior in me arises. Something's up. Something's up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah." So what I'd like to do for anybody that's brave enough, is anybody would like to try to blow the shofars? Anybody? "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." Now what we're going to do is give you a little lesson, okay? Did somebody else bring the needles? All right. We're going to wipe it down. Really good. Now, what you need to know is all trumpeters that learn to blow the trumpet, they actually carry trumpet mouthpieces with them. And I tell anybody that wants to learn, get yourself a piece of PVC pipe, 3/4 inch, and use it to practice with. And actually what you're doing is buzzing of the lip. When they teach a trumpeter to blow, it's... I had a guy from Florida. He called me, said, "Pastor Don, I've had a horn for 2 years. I can't get a thing out of it." I said, "Let me make a fool out of you for 5 minutes. I'll teach you." He said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Spit the bug off your lip. Get rid of, get that stinking bug off your lip." I said, "Now do that." I said, he went, I said, "Do that in the horn." "What was that?" I said, "It was a sound." Got to buzz the lips. Anything you buzz, you can blow, okay? So if you take that buzz and you just hold it. Anything you buzz. So let's do a practice. I'll make you look foolish. Tighten your lips. Tighten them. Yeah, that was a good, right? That was the best I've seen in a while. That was awesome. Now, all right, now what I need you to do is hold that. Hold it. Lighten them. No. No, you're not running a motorboat. Let's do it this way. Look at me. Right there. Yeah, you're getting it. You're getting it. Yes, 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 do that. Do it again. Y'all laugh. You shouldn't laugh at me. We're trying to do something here. I'm just kidding. Go, laugh all you want. It's good for you. Yeah. Try that. Come on. Try it again. Tighten them up. No. Keep them buzzing. Yeah. Well, don't you all laugh. She's brave. You all still sitting in the pew. Nobody else got up here. You got it. Come on, yeah. Get the buzz started and keep it going. You want to try it?
Can't try it.
Come on. Oh, I heard a groan. Come on. You're not buzzing your lips. You're just blowing. Vibrate them. They got to vibrate. You're really enjoying this, aren't you? Now, whoever said we should have fun in church? Throw them out! Why not? Let's try this again. Yes, you got it. You got to keep it going. Keep it going. You got to stay central on that. Keep the buzz going. And they're not buzzing. Once you stop buzzing, anybody else want to try it? Come on. Amazing grace. Give me the buzz. Now get your tongue in your mouth, honey. Don't stick your tongue out.
No.
Yeah. All right. No. Get your tongue back in your mouth. No.
Back further.
Back.
That's why I had such a good buzz going over there.
Now listen. We're gonna lock that tongue behind your teeth.
Is that better? Behind
no.
My teeth.
No. Look at me. Just lips.
Just lips.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Tighten them up now. Make them vibrate.
I shouldn't spit on them, should I?
It's all right. No, you're fine. Yeah. Try that in the horn. Woo! Hallelujah! Breakthrough. Any more brave among you? Oh, Pastor's going to give it a try. Now, you used to blow a horn, right, brother? Did you blow what? What was it?
Trombone.
You'll be fine. Just need to tighten it up. You don't have a great big mouthpiece. Just tighten it up. You'll be fine.
It took me my mouth was too big to blow a trumpet, so they gave me a trombone.
Everybody stretch your hand towards him. I'm gonna do a transference of anointing. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you take the anointing that you have given me and I transfer it to my brother. The anointing is transferable, you know. So, Father, we place it on him and we release it in him in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you blow the trumpet, you want to point it up like this. Not, I was practicing there, but you want to stick it up in the air like this. Keep your hand away from the mouthpiece. Take your time. Give us, you're too tight. Kind of lighten them up, lighten your lips a little. Hallelujah! What's happening is you're a little too tight, blowing too hard. Lighten your lips up because the tension of the lips, you can do a deep sound, a high sound by how tight you make your lips, okay? So, you know what you need to do is make your lips floppy. Your lips are still too tight.
Yes, they are. Just,
but that goes to show you there's different sounds in the same horn just by the tension of the lip. Mm-hmm. Let's do something. You hang on to that one. And you're going to blow easy. You're going to blow long. You're going to hold it. Let me start. You come in behind me. It's okay. You can work on it. Yeah. And what you have is a real tight buzz. Mm-hmm. And you're really putting it, you're pointing it. Make your lips a little flatter once and try it. Not so much like this, but keep your... Hallelujah. Anyone else? All right, let's try it again. You got that sound. Let's see if we can carry the sound together. You're just going to hold it.
I don't get nervous.
You did good. You did good. He did good, didn't he? Didn't he do good? Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. Anybody else? Come on. Here we go. Here we go. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Take your time. Take your time. Keep it buzzing. Very good. Very good. Hallelujah. What's that?
I can't really get the...
Your mouthpiece is too small, honey. Very small.
I've worked it.
Yeah. It's one of those. It's got what we call a real tight mouthpiece. Even hard for me to blow.
Yeah, okay. It's a hard one
yeah.
to blow.
Yeah. We could actually cut it off.
My grandson plays it just like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could cut it off and make a bigger mouthpiece. That's what needs to happen to it. Okay.
Well, the rawness is now out of it.
Yeah.
I think the last time you told me to take alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. We killed everything in it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Well.
Yes, brother. Sister, I'm sorry.
God has certain ones for certain people.
Yes.
Do women do this?
Yes.
Oh,
yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yes. Yes, women do blow. Yes, they do.
Next question would be, upward is for the praise of God.
Upward is pointing it to the heavens, to the throne room. That's the honor thing. Blow it towards Him. You're blowing it for Him, to Him. Okay? Now, we'll just take any questions, anything, about anything Hebraic, anything, anyone. Any questions about the horn? One of the things I do when people purchase a horn from us, I then become committed to them. I tell them, you bought me with the horn. I've actually given people lessons on the phone because of the distance. Everybody can't come. But I do lessons in town. Actually, we've just had a breakthrough in our city. This is awesome. July 19th is Barbara and I's anniversary. We'll be married 47 years. And what's awesome about this is we got a call from a black apostolic ministry in town. They've been meeting in one of the motel conference rooms for 8 years. And they called me and they said this to me. Now, this is a breakthrough in the city because nobody in the city has anything to do with us. They treat us like we're a bunch of Jews. It's bad. It's really bad, y'all. It's really bad. It's bad. So we got a breakthrough. This lady calls and she says, Pastor Don, we understand that you teach the shofar. We've never done one before, but we want to do a shofar clinic. Will you come and teach us? Breakthrough in the city. I said, remember what I said, this is the year of the door. The Lord says, I'm going to open doors that's been closed. They're going to begin to open. And it's also the year of the eye. The Lord said, I will cause you to see things that you've not seen before. Hallelujah. 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 Anything else? Are we good, Pastor? You want to do anything else? Let's stand together. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. I want to teach you that word. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. This is the words that Jesus spoke over the city of Jerusalem. Remember when he said these words, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you as a hen would gather her chicks, but you would not. The Lord was saying, what I've come to give you, you rejected it. You would not receive it. And you will not see me again, Jerusalem, until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Today in the land of Israel, they are saying, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. In the streets of Jerusalem, his coming is near at hand. Jesus said, you will not see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, Father, we come in the name of Mashiach, Messiah Jesus, Yeshua, right now in Jesus' name. Father, we seal up everything that's happened these last two services. Lord, we seal it up in the name of Jesus with the blood of Christ, that the enemy can't tamper with it. He can't touch it. This is all God. This is a Father God. This is an Elohim thing. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. And I hear the Lord say, he's already released a stir. There's some of you that's going to begin to get a stir to actually be trained with this horn. It's not for everybody. But the Lord's calling someone. And I always like to pray over them and blow the trumpet over them. If you feel like the Lord is drawing you to the trumpet and you want to be trained, and this is a calling, this is not a feel-good thing, this is not some toy we're going to go home and play with, this is a weapon of war and worship. It's what it is. It's warfare in the spirit, worship in the spirit. And the trumpet is, the rabbis say, when the trumpet sounds, it's the voice of God that goes out, because it's his breath in us that goes out, the ruach goes out. So every time the trumpet sounded, is the voice of God going out. Father, I ask for the power of your spirit. Lord, is there one, is there two that feels a calling on their life to be an ancient warfare trumpeter? And Lord, if you're calling such a one, bring them to this altar that we may release them in the anointing, Father. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, you two that have come, would you move down to center, please? Thank you, Lord. Pastor, I'll ask you to move in behind, put your hands on them. Do we have any... The watchman anointing. She has a calling for the watchman anointing. Ezekiel 33, 1 to 7. Pastor, do you have other people that you would like to come in around them and pray, put their hands on them? Come on, any of your, Barbara, come on, move up here, honey. Let's get hands on them. Let's get hands on them. And I'm hearing the Lord say, He's releasing you in that watchman anointing, okay? And when you blow, heaven is at your disposal, okay? And when you blow, demons will tremble. And when you will blow, you're going to blow in services and the miracles are going to be released. Healings will come to pass. This is a supernatural thing. So, Father, I take the anointing that you put on me and I release it on this sister in Jesus' name. And I hear the Lord say it's a priestly Gideon anointment watchman, for you were born for such a time as this. You need to know and understand and realize that you can have been born in any other generation, but I, the Lord God, have called you. Now I have positioned you. And when you sound the trumpet, the demons of hell will scatter, and the ones that scatter, will they scatter in confusion in Jesus' name. So, Father, I release the Gideon priestly anointing on this sister as a watchman in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to blow the trumpet into your spirit. Receive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for that Gideon priestly anointing in my brother. I hear the Lord say, brother, he's stirring you to things greater than anything you've known or understood. As a matter of fact, the Lord says, I'm opening up your understanding that you're going to a deeper place than you've ever dreamed or imagined. Now, we prayed for you last night for a deep place, but the Lord says, I have even a deeper place. And the Lord says, because you're teachable, you're trainable. And because you're trainable, the Lord says, you're trustable. Did you get that? Trainable, teachable, trustable. The Lord says, I can trust you with the anointing. And so Father says he's releasing the Gideon priestly anointing on you as a New Testament believer, one who knows Messiah, one who's been baptized in the Spirit. You shall be a carrier. You have been given a mantle with a mandate. Go, mighty warrior. Be released in this region to sound the trumpet wherever you go. As a matter of fact, I'm hearing the Lord say for those of you that have come, the Lord's raising you up in a shofar ministry, okay? So he's going to teach you, and he's already equipped you, but what he's about to do is release you. So, Father, I sound the trumpet into my brother in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Francis, for such a time as this, girl. Such a time as this. I'm hearing radical warrior, not just a warrior, but a radical warrior. And the Lord's saying, I've called you daughter as a sifter and shaker in this generation. Everything that can be sifted shall be sifted through you. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken to see that which remains will be of God. And when the Lord is done, he will have done an awesome thing. The anointing is transferable. So, Father, I transfer the Gideon priestly anointing upon this sister right now. Lord, you will teach her. You will train her. And I want all three of you to hear this word. There's going to be times when you're going to blow a prophetic sound and it won't sound like nothing you ever blew before. It'll just come out of you. Don't be alarmed at that. It'll be all God. Some of the sounds that we're going to teach you with the CDs, they are sounds that we already know. But I've heard sounds come out of these things and say, my God, what was that? And the Lord said, that was all me. That was me. It was my sound for the particular sound, for a particular moment in a particular situation. So, Father, I release Francis in that right now. In the fullness, you were born for such a time as this. You go forth in the name of Jesus, declaring the word of the Lord, sounding the trumpet, blowing the alarm in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Pastor, I'm going to turn it back to you. Hallelujah.
The scripture says to not remove the ancient landmarks. And God is putting things back into the church. I have taught for years that the Bible was hidden until like 1634 when it was first printed in a common language.
Right.
And that we in this day and age, we are still rediscovering scripture.
Yes.
We a lot of places teach. We've had 2,000 years of teaching on the Bible, and we know everything that needs to be known about. There's no new revelation. There's no, you just need to study history. You just need, but God is revealing it in this day
yes.
to a new generation.
Yes.
I believe the prophecy in Daniel that in the latter days knowledge will increase. Yes. I believe that's not just natural knowledge.
No.
That is spiritual
right.
knowledge and insight into the Word
that's
of
right.
God
exactly
by
right.
His Spirit, not by natural men being taught or being taught by natural men, but it is by the power of the Spirit of God
yes.
is quickening in us this Word to see the reality of it, to see the manifestation of that Word. So the Bible is the ancient landmark
yes.
that God has given to us. But in our day, we are redigging the wells. We've done
that's
that right. in this
open
church before.
Wells.
Redigging the wells, opening up that which has been closed up by tradition of men, by the lack of understanding. And God is bringing these things back to the forefront now.
Yep.
And it will, we've had prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. This will bring a division. It will bring a separation.
Yes, it will.
But Paul said it must be
yes.
that there are separations to show that which is genuine from that
that's
which is
right.
just following along
that's
and
right.
playing the game.
That's right.
And it doesn't mean that the ones playing the game aren't hungry.
That's right.
But they're not hungry enough.
That's right.
You know, I can believe in God but not be hungry for God.
Come on.
I can believe in supernatural things and not be hungry for God's supernatural. You see that on TV. All the ghosts, all the zombies, all
yeah,
these things.
Right.
It's a hunger
yes,
of the
is.
Supernatural,
that's right. that's
but it's
it.
Not the hunger for the supernatural of God. And when you hunger for the supernatural of God, it's going to set you apart from all the other kind
that's
of
right.
of hungers in the earth.
Blessed is he.
Because that's just a hunger to satisfy the flesh. But we are letting the flesh die. And we are being made alive by
Quicken.
The power of the Holy Spirit of God. Because if you follow in the grace of God, it will teach you how to crucify the flesh.
Yes, it
because
will.
The flesh becomes less and less and less, and God becomes more and more and more.
Yahweh, have your way.
Be ye filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Be ye filled, consumed with the fire of God,
yes.
which burns up all the chaff and all the junk in our lives to purify us to be that acceptable sacrifice before the Lord. I loved it the other night when Pastor Don says there's two sacrifices in the New Testament. Jesus and us.
That's right.
And we are to be the living sacrifice
right.
before God. Jesus
yes.
is the ultimate sacrifice,
yes.
but we are a living sacrifice before God. And it must be.
It must be.
It must be that we become that living
thank
sacrifice
you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Before
yes.
God.
Glory.
Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for last night. And Lord, I praise you for what we're going to receive tomorrow morning
yes.
at 10:30. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Don. I thank you, Lord, for the wisdom and knowledge that you have given to him, for the anointing upon him, God, that, Lord, the Word of God would grow and increase till we are consumed
yes.
by
yes.
the things yes. of the Spirit. That we are, he said last night, to loose the elephant and to release the lion. Lord, we've been held in bondage by the little things in life. But God, you have prepared us for great things. And in order for the great to come, the little must go. Lord, our flesh must go that you can become great in us. Lord, I pray, release the lion. Release the lion in us, the lion of the tribe of Judah. God, that your Spirit would grow and grow and grow and increase and defeat every enemy in its path, that we might reveal the goodness of God, of our Father, Yahweh. In this, God, we give you praise, we give you honor in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. God bless you.